Welcome to Walk in Truth. These are the Bible teachings of Pastor Michael Lance, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people and how to apply that truth to today's issues, trends, and culture. Learn more about the program and our ministry when you visit walkintruth.com. Now here's part two of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 15 called The Rejection and Revenge of Samson.
So Samson's like, hey, I want to be with my wife. Let me in. And he is ready to enter into her room or the bridal chamber. And his expectation goes without explanation. He wants to consummate the marriage. And her father said, he didn't let her in. Look at end of one. The father blocked his way. He did not let him enter. And the father said to Samson, I thought you hated her intensely. So I gave her to your companion or your best man. Now, dad watched Samson go off in a huff. He was angry about the riddle being told. And we know what happened. His wife was threatened that she was going to get burned with fire. I mean, she had some motivation, right? So she gave it away. Samson was angry. So he went off in a huff. He did his damage in Ashkelon. He cooled off at his parents' house. How many days went by, I don't know. But he came back with expectation. And the dad basically said, well, I saw you leave and you were angry. And so she's spoken for. And the implication is that your companion's already been with her. That's signed, sealed, delivered. And you can imagine Samson's got to be pretty upset. His best man. She's been given to another. I want you to think about Israel as a nation. What was Israel's problem, especially in this book of Judges? She keeps giving herself to another. What's the problem often with the church when the churches are addressed in Revelation 2 and 3? You have left your first love. The church is Christ's bride. But what do we do? Sometimes we are prone towards idolatry. Not just an Old Testament problem. The end of 1 John says, flee from idolatry. 1 Corinthians 14 or 1 Corinthians 11 or 12, somewhere in there, says, flee from idolatry. So we know it's a problem for all of us. And here's Samson, this savior type, foreshadowing of the savior. And his bride's been given to somebody else. And you can see the parallel with the nation. You can see the parallel with the church. Fidelity is something that we're called to practice. As a pastor, my call is to show fidelity to the gospel. It's required of me to be found faithful. I can't bunt when I'm supposed to take a full swing with the gospel. Well, fidelity is something we're supposed to practice in our marriage relationship, if you will, with Christ. And we all know it's a challenge. So dad has a compromise here. Dad says, okay, and he's got to see that Samson's angry. And I don't know if Samson was built like a bodybuilder, but if I were the dad, I might want to offer an olive branch here, you know. And so the dad's got a solution. He says, is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please let her be yours instead. Okay, yes, she's been given to your best man, but she's got a pretty younger sister. Look at her. She's right there. You can have her. And you've already got the goat. I'll take the goat. You take the girl. Now, last week, we kind of joked about Samson that some of the language in the previous chapter seems like Samson almost speaks like, you know, I see girl. I want girl. Mongo one girl. Where does Mongo come from? I don't even know where that comes from. Anyway. But Samson doesn't say yes. He doesn't say, oh, she is pretty. Oh, okay. No, Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Now, Samson doesn't say, okay, yeah, you're right, she's pretty. I want a wife. So that tells me that he really loved this first girl. And Samson's not just that, you know, I see, I want all his senses. So he's upset, and he basically says, I'm going to go do some damage now, but this time I'm going to be blameless in what I do, which implies that last time he wasn't. Maybe he's feeling a tinge of guilt about going to Ashkelon and killing all these people just to get, you know, the stuff for to pay the bet. But this time he claims he'll be blameless. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes. Some say that this could be jackals because foxes travel alone and jackals in packs. I don't know. I've seen arguments on both sides. I'll just mention it in passing. Samson caught 300 foxes, took torches, turned the foxes tail to tail. This sounds like something you'd do when you were a teenager and you didn't have anything better to do. Maybe lived in a rural area. I don't know. And put one torch in the middle between two tails. And when he had set fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both the shocks and the standing grain along with the vineyards and groves. Now remember, it's the time of the wheat harvest, so this is a big time when you bring in the crop, and there's, you know, the shocks are the bundles of wheat and the standing grain. You also have a mention of the vineyards and the groves. And I don't know if this was a Holy Spirit thing where Samson, in, you know, high rate of speed, collected all these foxes and stuck torches between their tails. I don't know how, if it was he was a good trapper or this was a Holy Spirit, great miraculous feat. But whatever it was, they go running into the fields, and all of a sudden, all the fields of the Philistines are on fires, the groves, the vineyards. This would it'd be called Samsonomics. He wasn't very good for the economy here. That was a joke. You don't like it? Anyway, okay. So he destroyed a lot of stuff. He destroyed their livelihood. Samson was, you could call him a bit of an arsonist. He caused a big fire to happen. He used these foxes as the tool. I don't know why he used them, but there they go. And some people may have a problem with Samson using foxes in this way. And I would imagine the foxes did not fare well themselves. There may have been a lot of foxes on fire. This bothers some groups out there, you know, but I guess it was just a big sacrifice, and the foxes went in and everything caught fire, and it was an absolute mess. And you can imagine the death, the fur, the screaming, whatever happened. Ironically, the main god for the Philistines was named Dagon. Remember Dagon? He's the Philistine god. And when the ark is captured in 1 Samuel, they bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple of Dagon. And Dagon's got a pantheon of other so-called gods and goddesses around him. And he's a statue. And the ark is rolled in before Dagon. Do you remember what happened? Dagon, the god of the Philistines, he fell down and he couldn't get back up. That's basically what happened. And the limbs of Dagon broke off, and all that was left of Dagon was the trunk or his spine. And he was bowing before the Ark of the Covenant, which is quite a symbol there. But Dagon was known as the god of grain. And what has Samson done? Burned up all their grain. As a message, if you will, that the God of the Bible is the true God. So the Philistines naturally said, verse 6, who did this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite. Now, they still call him son-in-law, though he never officially married her. And in the betrothal period, it seems like even in that culture, they would call them husband and wife. There was a commitment only could be broken by divorce, apparently, at least in Jewish culture. Because he took his wife and gave her to his companion. So they're saying, oh, we know why he did it. Samson went back to be with his wife, and she was given to another, and he was mad. And so he burned up all this stuff. The Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Wow. So as a reprisal for what Samson did, and Samson as a reprisal for what was done to him, he burned their fields and their vineyards, and they took his wife, in quotes, and his father-in-law, in quotes, and burned them alive. Brutal, But that's the type of people we're dealing with. And this has a larger, you could say, umbrella of a war between the Philistines and the Israelites. And so very sad. The wife was in a tough spot multiple times. And you could say, in one sense, she is a she's in the wake of Samson's poor decisions. Now, God uses Samson despite his fleshly decision-making. But it doesn't mean that just because God can cause something bad and use it for good, that you're always in God's perfect will. We know God can exploit not so good things for his good purposes, but it doesn't mean that if you go through something and God can still do something good with it, that there's not going to be any consequences to it. And it could be, you know, a relationship. It could be something, you know, goes amiss or somebody's outside of God's will. And yeah, he can redeem it, but there's going to be some people who pay the price.
You'll hear more from Pastor Michael in a moment.
Hey, producer Rob here with a reminder. You can listen to Walk in Truth with Pastor Michael Lance anytime you want on your favorite podcast app. You can listen to Walk in Truth while you're on a walk, or maybe you're doing the dishes. Anytime you would like a dose of a teaching from the Word of God, Pastor Michael and the entire Walk in Truth team is here for you. You can find Walk in Truth on your Apple Podcast app, or maybe you use Spotify or iHeartRadio. Any podcast app, you'll find Walk in Truth. Just click on the subscribe button so that you can be notified every time a new episode is uploaded.
Hey there, are you enjoying the enriching teachings of Pastor Michael on Walk in Truth? If you're a longtime listener, we need your support to keep spreading Pastor Michael's unique insights as he teaches through the Bible. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you'll help us cover the costs of radio airtime and with podcast production. Your donation also ensures that more people can access Pastor Michael's teaching and bonus material on the free Walk in Truth app. Please join us in our mission to equip believers like you with God's truth. Visit walkintruth.com and click on the donate button today. That's walkintruth.com and click on donate. And thank you for your support.
We'd love to see who's listening, so please connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. Just do a search for Walk in Truth Show. Now, back to Pastor Michael Lance right here on Walk in Truth.
And it could be, you know, a relationship. It could be something, you know, goes amiss or somebody's outside of God's will. And yeah, he can redeem it, but there's going to be some people who pay the price. We don't sin in a vacuum. There's always consequences to decisions that we make. And here, a severe consequence. A woman that Samson apparently loved and her dad are dead. And Samson's now in this back and forth. And Samson said to them, since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you. But after that, I will quit. If you have an NIV, verse 7 says, since you've acted like this, I won't stop until I get my revenge on you. And I want you to see in the title that we've shared tonight, the rejection and revenge of Samson. We're going to see it a few times in the chapter. And I want you to be thinking about Jesus, because Samson is a type of Christ, the rejection and revenge. I want you to be thinking about that as we move through. So you can notice that Samson now has his bride given to another. He's mad. He gets revenge. They get revenge on him. And back and forth it goes. Samson seems to be consumed with revenge. He speaks often as the Philistines speak. One writer says he's selfish and self-consumed. He wants revenge. He wants to be avenged. And sometimes revenge sounds pretty good. Amen? Oh, thank you. I didn't think you guys were going to say amen to hard truth. Usually Christians are like, no, I don't feel that way. When the bad guy dies at the end of the movie and he falls off a 10-story building, I never say, oh, good. Good for him that he splatted on the ground. I would never say such a thing.
I do.
Good. There's a story from my Italian past. My grandmother and grandfather got in a fight one day. My grandfather was a hard Italian grandpa, and you know, old school, hard-nosed, and apparently a glass broke during dinner. And so there was some anger, and grandfather got blamed for it, and he was mad or whatever. So the glass was underneath the table broken, and he took the glass and began to eat it. And his mouth was bleeding out of the sides, and he looked at my grandmother, and my grandmother said, "Good for you. Go ahead and bleed." So anyway. Now, you know how I was raised and what's shaped me. Probably explains quite a bit, huh? But anyway, let me just say on a practical note, bondage and addiction always cries out, "One more time and then I'm through." So look at Samson's words. "I won't stop until I get revenge on you," or, "But after this, I'll quit." That's the New American Standard, end of verse 7. "I'll get my revenge. After that, I'll quit." Now, I don't know about you, but those words grabbed me because I had a season in my life when that was true, and I probably said that a number of times. "After this, I'll quit." Now, you don't have to admit it. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but maybe that's in your vocabulary right now. "Now, after this, I'll quit." Or when you're all going to start your diet, right? Now, you already blew the new year. We already know it, right? So it's usually Monday, all right? Monday. "Tomorrow, tomorrow, I love you. Tomorrow, you're only a burrito away." And so you eat the burrito, you come to work the next day. What happens? It's somebody's birthday. Evan's made cinnamon rolls at the men's breakfast. What are you going to do? You got to eat it. You got to make the sacrifice. It's only right. Thank you, Brother Bert. "I won't stop until I get my... after this, I'll quit." Look, if you keep saying that, you're going to keep saying that. And the cycle is going to continue. And you're going to have to decide if you want to get well. Amen? And I can preach from experience and tell you, I did it quite a bit, especially in my first 4 years as a Christian. "Okay, after this, I'll quit. Okay, I won't be back in this line next weekend." And I fell on my face a number of times. Now, the good news is my falls started to spread apart. And by God's grace, you know, that stuff's in the rearview mirror. But I just want to point it out because Samson's life is still that being torn, right? "So he struck them ruthlessly," 8. If you have a New King James, "he struck them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock of Etam," or Edom. Edom means a place of birds of prey. So he did a bunch of damage. Some say the language means he might have even dismembered some people. Some say it's the language of wrestling. I don't know quite what to make of it, but he did a lot of damage. You could see he was ruthless, verse 8, a great slaughter. And then he got out of there and he went and hid in this, you could say, a cave opening in this rock of Edom place, which what we do know is that it was in western Judah, southern part of Israel, and Samson hung out there knowing that there was going to be a reprisal. And the Philistines, 9, went up and camped in Judah and spread out in Lehi. So here's the cycle of retaliation, and here they come. The Philistines now invade Judah, and they're looking to exact some revenge for all that Samson has done to them. And the men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" Now they're speaking to the Philistine army. And they said, and I think there's 1,000 Philistines, as we'll talk about here in a second. And they said, "We've come up to bind Samson in order to do to him as he did to us." 11. Then 3,000 men of Judah. Now if the Philistines have 1,000 and Judah has 3,000 and Samson is their savior, why do the men of Judah respond the way that they do? You're going to see what happens. We've come to bind Samson in order to do to him what he did to us. And the 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Edom and said to Samson, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Hey, I don't know if you know what's going on around here, but we like the status quo. We like being under the foot of the Philistines. You're rocking the boat here. Walter Martin used to say the church suffers from the endemic disease called non-rockabotus in the Latin. That means whatever you do, no rocking the boat. What are they? Judah is supposed to be, if you read the first couple verses of, I think it's Judges chapter 1 or 2, Judah is supposed to be the leader. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. What is Judah doing here? Well, Judah has settled. Have you?
You've been listening to The Rejection and Revenge of Samson, part 2 on Walk in Truth. That was Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges chapter 15. If you missed any part of today's program, Walk in Truth is on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many more podcast apps. Listen for free to Pastor Michael's teachings in more books of the Bible. You can email Pastor Michael with your questions you may have from his teaching today, or maybe you have a question about something else, or need encouragement, or prayer. Maybe you'd like to share how Pastor Michael's teachings have affected you. You can email Pastor Michael at contact@walkintruth.com. That's contact@walkintruth.com. And thanks for reaching out. You can also find our mailing address on walkintruth.com. Now here's Pastor Michael with the final word.
You know, when we talk about the topics of rejection and revenge, you know, Paul said, never take your own personal revenge, but, you know, leave it to God, paraphrasing. But maybe you're in a habit of you do everything in your flesh. And instead of, you know, turning to God and maybe laying that situation at God's feet, that person, that difficulty, that burden, you come up with your own plan A, B, C, D, and E, and et cetera. And you try every one of them, and you've been kind of in the cycle of trying to take control, because when you're hurt, you certainly feel out of control. How can you switch that into turning to God? You know, when you watch some of the major accounts in the Bible, what God honored the most from kings and leaders was when they would turn to God in prayer, even in the face of war, etc. And God always honored that. And it might be the most difficult thing to do, because a human tendency is to repay evil for evil and say, oh, let me tell you something. You do that to me, I'll do this to you. But when you turn to God, he's so much bigger than the people and the situations that we face, that what you're doing is you're doing something actually that's wise, but it's hard. Because we all have a pattern of, let's face it, we want to drive instead of letting the Lord take the wheel, as it were. But I think what you will find is that the more you turn over to the Lord, the more you lay at his feet, the more you'll find strength and perspective to deal with things the right and godly way. This is Pastor Michael Lance. You're listening to some chapters in the book of Judges right here on Walk in Truth. I pray that they've been a blessing to you. Hey, we tell you about two resources that you can find out more about the ministry. Let me just highlight one of them. It's the Walk in Truth app. You can download it on your app store. It's a light blue pillar. It's got a lot of information at your fingertips, including catching up with messages, listening on demand, sharing with a friend, giving to the ministry, so much. Download the Walk in Truth app today from your app store. And it will give you what you need right at your fingertips. You can go back and listen to other books we've taught. It's a great resource. The Walk in Truth app on your app store today. And we'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow.
We need your support to keep the Walk in Truth show going strong. By becoming a monthly partner with just $20, you can help us cover radio airtime bills, make our podcast available, and even expand our reach to more radio stations. Your contribution will truly make a difference in supporting our ministry. Join us in spreading truth and wisdom across the airwaves. Visit walkintruth.com and click donate. That's walkintruth.com and click donate. And join us tomorrow for the conclusion of Pastor Michael's teaching in Judges 15, called The Rejection and Revenge of Samson.
You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? Samson, you know, you'd like to think the guy was a little bit more reverent, right? You just killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. You'd think that he might say, oh, Lord, thank you for the victory. I am a little thirsty now, which tells you he had to also work hard. The Spirit came upon him, but he still had to use human resources. And we've got to remember that even when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon us, it doesn't mean we're not going to be tired. It doesn't mean we won't have to work. We'll be empowered by the Spirit, but we're going to still have to give some human effort.
I'm Mike Massaro. On behalf of Pastor Michael Lantz and Living Truth Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening to Walk in Truth, equipping you to reach out with God's truth to all people.